We've seen progress in two areas, DOD security clearances and the 2010 census, and sufficient progress has been made on both that we've removed them from the list. DOD has improved the initial times for processing security clearances and are now, on average, producing them well within the statutory guidelines. They have quality metrics in place as well and a commitment to continuing to monitor and make further improvements in that program. The 2010 census has largely completed their peak census activities within their operational plans. They released the state population counts early before the statutory guideline and successfully addressed the other problems that we had identified in their IT and cost efforts to control costs. And the remaining activities for the 2010 census are pretty much on track. Now, the lesson learned out of both of these areas that have come off the list is that high-level management attention by executive branch officials at very senior levels and sustained congressional oversight have paid off. In each of these areas, more than a dozen congressional hearings were held, and that assured the continual progress and benchmarks against metrics. So those are key lessons learned for other areas looking to come off the list.
I saw some people saying, of course, the census comes off the list because they've essentially completed the census. Is it just that they're out of the sort of the high-risk part of conducting the census, or is it more than that?
It's more than that, Chris. I mean, we felt that they took seriously the issues that we identified. We put them on the high-risk list back in March 2008 because they weren't on track to be done. They did not have good control of their IT systems, particularly these handheld computers they were going to use. They didn't have a good plan to help contain costs. And so they have, you know, taken us seriously, worked with the Commerce Department, we've had active congressional oversight on these matters, and so they really, you know, were able to bring things in on track. If the remaining census activities were not on track, you know, we would keep them on for a while until the whole thing was complete. Now, importantly, with regard to the census, though, is that attention soon needs to turn to the 2020 census. As we point out in our report, the average cost per household of conducting the census has increased from $16 a household in 1970 to $98 a household to take the 2010 census. And that's both using 2010 constant dollars. So you've had an increase of 500% per household and the cost to take the census, and that can't be sustained going forward. Also, the response rate for the questionnaire that they use has decreased from 78% to 63%, so fewer people are answering by mail. And so they need to take advantage of technology, administrative records. We need to move to a different paradigm of taking the census in order to bring it in a cost-effective manner.
So two off, one new one coming on, Interior's management of the federal oil and gas resources. What goes into that decision that you say, okay, this is a potential problem?
Yeah, well, we've done work in the past on the royalty and revenue collection side, and we were able to do more work in that area over the past couple of years, and we identified additional problems with the weaknesses in verifying the production of oil and gas on federal leases. We've identified human capital concerns in terms of having the right numbers and skills of people and properly trained in both the Bureau of Land Management and the former Minerals Management Service. We've also, identified the need to re-look at the process. We looked at the area for doing environmental assessments as part of the permitting process, and that led us to conclude there are inconsistent applications of that process as well. So this decision is based on a body of work that GAO has done over the years, and even in the past 2 years we've issued 14 reports and testimonies and had 45 new recommendations for the department. And that is also being overlaid on the decision to undertake a major reorganization of these activities, which has inherent risk associated with it because of the challenges. And also, there are many open questions as to whether Interior will be able to carry off this huge reorganization while continuing to maintain their focus on their normal mission activities, particularly in a constrained resource environment. So all those factors were important in the decision to put them on the list.
About 30 programs on the list, 31?
Yeah, the 30 now.
30 on the list. And a number of them have been on the list for a very long time. IRS modernization, a number of contract management issues. I'm just looking over the list. I mean, there are human capital issues within the government. And as I was reading through the report, I was thinking, you know, they say the definition of insanity is you keep trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. As I'm reading this, should I read insanity in there, that we keep trying the same thing and expecting different results, or are we learning and are we getting better?
I think we're learning and getting better. In almost all the areas, there's been significant progress that's been made. For example, in the human capital area, we've narrowed that high-risk area to just critical skill shortages in foreign language skills, for example, on oil and gas management, the acquisition workforce. Previously, we had recommended that Congress and the executive branch give more flexibilities. They've done that. There have been statutory changes and law changes. OPM has put out guidance in order to implement those new flexibilities. So the new flexibilities are there, and it's a matter now of honing in on individual skill weaknesses and gaps. Also, I've been very encouraged that we've got high-level attention from the deputy for management over at the OMB, Jeff Science, and the very senior officials of each of the high-risk areas, and we've been having a series of meetings with them to further discuss what needs to be done in order to make specific corrections to continue to make progress in the high-risk area. We have meetings scheduled already for this year. I've been very encouraged this morning with this hearing that we've had on the House Government Oversight and Government Reform, chaired by Congressman Issa. We had a very robust discussion of the need to focus on these areas and the importance of congressional oversight. So I think all the ingredients are postured for progress, and I'm very hopeful, Chris, that we're going to be able to see the agencies on the list make very clear and discernible progress.
Of course, congressional oversight, very important, but also there are challenges that, and I don't have to tell you, agencies not getting money, they don't have their budget until we're now almost 6 months into the year. That creates a lot of uncertainty and difficulty of planning and looking long-term and making. And it's, and what I've heard from some agencies is, okay, we have these challenges. How do we work through this? It is a very difficult environment right now.
Well, that's when managers need to come to the forefront and setting priorities and making good decisions. It's never easy to tackle these challenges that are before us. Not all of them require additional money. Some of them require just application or perhaps refocusing of some of the resources that have been committed. I'm not minimizing the challenges ahead for people, but we've seen these areas, as you mentioned, some have been on the list in good budget times and bad budget times, and there doesn't seem to be any progress. So it's not always directly related to the amount of money, but it is directly related to the amount of management attention and commitment and follow through to measure progress and to ensure that the problems are resolved.
So you do this every other year. What do you hope, what message do you hope folks take away from this this particular year?
Well, I think there is the ability to come off the list. We've had over a third of the areas over the 50 that we've identified over the years have come off of the list. There has been progress, but there are imposing challenges, and that they need to be focused on and dealt with. And none of these are insurmountable problems. They're a matter of hard work. They're a matter of setting clear measures to gauge interim progress over time. They're a matter of follow through. Many of these things aren't, policy level type of decisions. It's just a lot of hard work and rolling up the sleeves and, getting the business of government, done properly for the benefit of the American people. We can't afford under the current situation right now with our long-term unsustainable fiscal path. We can't afford these problems anymore. They need to be fixed. And I think managers and congressional leaders understand that and are committed to working together to achieve those goals.